It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And as previously mentioned, it is wet. We've had almost 2¾ inches of rain at my house in the last week and close to 5 inches for the month of May. That water has created a lot of growth among a lot of plants. And just hiking about in the woods by my house, the following flowers are, well, some are in bloom and some are just on the verge of blooming. But those that are in bloom, clematis. And you may or may not know clematis. It's a beautiful, very pendulous purple flower, 4 petals. Petals are 2 inches long. They hang down. You might be familiar with the seed stage, which looks kind of like a fright wig. But at this time of year, you're going to see minimal leaves and these pale, pale purple or lavender flower petals. And they are really, really pretty. But the whole thing is on and off in a rapid period of time. So I saw my first clematis blooming last Wednesday, and I had them at peak of bloom yesterday, and they will be done blooming probably by the time we talk again next week, or just the last few of the clematis will be blooming. They are a vining plant. They grow up and over other plants. I find them at my house in the aspen forest. I don't see them among the pines, but they do well in aspen and hazel, and that's where I find them at my house, and I recommend that if you get out, keep an eye out for these lovely lavender flowers, the purple clematis. Other flowers in bloom, there's a bright magenta little flower that grows right at the ground level. It's sometimes called flowering wintergreen. It's also called gay wings. I know it as fringed polygala. It is just this unbelievable little flower. It's got a long tubular front with a white frill at the end and 2 big petals above that are magenta. And the leaves of the plant are deep green, and you will see it under the pines. It grows well in acid soils, on sandy soils, and it is a pretty little flower. It really is kind of neat. So if you're biking or walking and you spot this bright magenta dot down by your feet, I recommend that you bend your knees and get down and have a closer look at the gay wings. They are really quite spectacular. Wood anemone is probably at its peak of bloom. Just about everywhere I look in the forest, I see the wood anemones. Those are those 5-petaled white flowers that stand up above the whorl of leaves below. They are doing just fine. The other plant that is at my house is everywhere. I can't believe how it is spreading. Jack in the pulpit. And Jack in the pulpit is an interesting plant because it is, first of all, it's got that modified leaf, the spathe, that forms the pulpit, and Jack is the spadix, the flower, that is inside the pulpit. So in order to really see the flower, you need to lift up the lid of the pulpit of the Jack and look down inside and see what's in there. And there are, if it's kind of a webby, sort of a dusty-looking white, it's probably a male. If it's got these little green clusters in the bottom that are going to become the berries, it is a female. The plant can change its sex from year to year. If you are walking through the woods and you see a really robust, strong-looking plant, maybe 2 sets of leaves, almost invariably that's going to be a female, and that will be the one that produces the seeds. If the plant is kind of small and has a single leaf, it's probably going to be a male, and that one, the flower will wilt and die away and be gone very quickly after pollination occurs. The interesting thing about the plant is that if for some reason the plant is denied a good source of energy this year, like you might have this big female with a lot of energy stored in its root, and somebody comes walking along and they don't see it and they step on it and break the stem, break the leaves, and the plant is denied food for the rest of the summer, it's going to get pretty hungry. And next spring when it blooms, or when it comes up again and blooms, it may bloom as a male because it won't have enough energy stored to go through the process of making those seeds into, or making those berries into viable seeds. So keep an eye out for the Jack in the Pulpits. They are blooming in profusion right now. The other plant that's really easy to see, and you're probably driving past some right now if you're in your car, is that bright yellow plant in the ditches. Tiny yellow flowers. That plant is called Northern Wintercress, and it belongs to the mustard family. It's kind of a relative of broccoli probably, and some of the other plants that you grow in your garden. It is not edible so far as I know, but it definitely is prolific, and the yellow flowers are really easy to see right now. You'll see big patches of it as you're driving along. Northern Wintercress. Starflower is blooming, just began to bloom this past week. The starflower is a little white flower, 7 petals. And it's kind of easy to recognize because, A, it looks like a star, and B, if you stop and count the petals, there aren't many 7-petaled plants out there. There are 6-petal plants, there are 5 and 4, there are 8, there are some 7s, there are even some 8s, there are those that they say more than 8. Think, the daisy and those kinds of things. But the starflower with its 7 petals is, I won't say singular, but it is certainly a minority of flowers that have 7 petals. And if you, once you recognize the starflower, you'll be able to pick it out really easily because the leaves are kind of a yellow green and star-like in their own structure. So starflower is an apt name for that one. The blue bead lily is budded and not blooming yet. The Canada Mayflower is also budded, but not yet blooming at my house. I was looking, ferns are coming up everywhere. There are ferns everywhere. But I saw this one clump of interrupted ferns, and it just caught my eye because the sori, or the sporangia, the part of the plant that produces the spores in the interrupted fern, it's in the middle of the frond. So you're going to see what I noticed were these light green fronds with a band of dark green because they're all coming up from the same clump. They're all about the same height, and that level of those sporangia are all at the same level. So you get this band of dark green, and then you get the light green above. And that interrupted sporangia in the middle of the fern gives the fern its name. But that dark band in the middle of two lighter greens is going to really make it easy for you to see the interrupted fern. I saw my first monarch on the 26th this year. The average is May 30th. We were 4 days early. The earliest I ever saw one was on May 12th. The latest, June 3rd in 2017 and June 5th in 2013. I haven't seen a Canada tiger swallowtail yet, but I would expect to see one very soon. And the monarch and the swallowtail will both be on your lilacs. So check those out. And speaking of lilacs, I was looking at mine the other morning, and it's a little bit cool out, and every cluster of flowers on the lilac had a bumblebee embedded in it, and they were all just, I don't know, dormant, waiting for it to warm up. There were red-tailed bumblebees in there, and then there was another one that I tentatively think belongs to, it is definitely a bumblebee, but it had a single black dot in the middle of its thorax, otherwise yellow with a black tail. And there are a couple of different bumblebees that resemble one another, and I wasn't confident enough to make a call on it, but two species of bumblebees, and the bumblebees seem to be doing very well. There are bumblebees all over the lilacs, all over the cherries, all over the, well, the Juneberries are done blooming, so they're not on those anymore. The pincherries are done blooming. Choke cherries will be next, and watch for those to begin blooming very soon. The other insect that I noticed this past week was the American tent caterpillar. This is not the forest tent caterpillar. The forest tent caterpillar is the one that gets over everything. And when it emerges, it just chews up the forest. And you end up with them all over the place. And you can have huge outbreaks of them here and there. Not everywhere, but occasionally you'll get huge outbreaks. There may be another outbreak coming this year. I'm not sure. But the American tent caterpillar is not that same animal. This one makes a small tent on a tree, usually on a prunus, on a member of the prunus genus. And that little tent is where they hang out during the day. And at night, they venture out, they do their eating, and then during the day, they retreat to that nest for protection. So if you're seeing these little nests, these little webs in the middle of your trees, those are American tent caterpillars. I had the opportunity this past week to look into a brown thrasher nest, and how that came about was my neighbor Marvin was planting a new apple tree in his orchard, and he happened to move in there, and as he was moving around, he saw this thrasher get up and fly out from under this apple tree, and he thought, well, that's odd, I'm going to go investigate. So he went over to the apple tree and kind of looked in and looked around, and sure enough, down under a little branch, this branch was about 18 inches off the ground, tall grass around it, and down in the bottom, in a little cup of grass, were five light brown eggs that the brown thrasher had its nest. And so I got a chance to look at it. It was really fun, and I'm going to be checking on it as time goes by and let you know when they hatch. There was also a large flock of geese heading north. That would be the annual molt migration. Canada geese gather up into big flocks. These are juveniles and adults that have not mated or been successful in nesting. And they gather into huge flocks. I saw a flock of probably 75 birds heading north. They'll go up into Canada. They'll find lakes that are nice and quiet and private. And they will go through an eclipse molt, which renders them flightless for a brief period of time. And that's why they go to these remote lakes, so that they can be in that vulnerable position without a lot of enemies hanging around. So oftentimes this time of year, you will see large flocks of geese heading north. My average date is the 2nd of June. This year, I saw them on the 26th. And so just a few days early, but, you know, that's within the area of possibility. So watch for big flocks of geese heading north this time of year. You won't be disappointed. Couple of notes about trees, and then we're all done. If you're looking at the evergreens, and I tell my students, all pines are evergreens, but not all evergreens are pines. Some are spruce, and some are fir, and the rest belong to the pine group, at least up here. Among the pines, the jack pine, the red pine, Norway pine, and the white pine, all are in flower right now. They are not spreading pollen yet, but if you look, you'll see the new growth, the candles, we call them. They are greater than 1 inch. If you look at the tree, if you pull down a branch and look, you'll see these clusters of little stubby, they look like stubby fingers, and there'll be clusters of them, 20 or 30 in a group, and those are the male flowers. The female flowers look like little pine cones, except that they're kind of purplish in color. And that will be true of the Norway pine, the jack pine, and the white pine, though the white pines tend to have their female flowers up at the top of the tree, so you're not going to get a chance to see very many white pine, young white pine seed cones. But all of the pines are doing that. The spruce are just breaking bud at my house back in the woods in the dark, you know, where they're not open. They're just starting to break bud. The balsams have been breaking bud for over a week, and their buds are now spread out. You can see the individual needles. If you have a balsam in your yard, take your binoculars out and look up at the top of the tree. You will see the cones. Now, here's the difference if you're not sure. A balsam has flat needles. If you take a needle off a balsam and try to roll it, it won't roll in your fingers because it's flat. If you do the same thing with a spruce needle, it'll roll readily. If you take your binoculars and look at the cones on the spruces hang down and the cones on the balsams point up. I looked at the balsam cones yesterday and they were a delightful shade of green misted with red. And they are gorgeous. If you have the chance, if you have a pair of binoculars and a balsam tree, put the two together. You won't be disappointed. The balsam trees are just absolutely stunning. Their cones are just gorgeous right now. Bur oak and red oak. The bur oaks are in flower right now. The red oaks are done flowering. At least my red oak is done flowering. All the male flowers are empty. And the female flowers are looking withered and as though they're on their way to becoming acorns. And if you are familiar with the red oak flower, you are a close observer because they're not very big or showy. So just know that if you know what a red oak flower looks like, you're among a small minority. Sugar maples dropped their male flowers this past week. Last week, Tuesday, I was out, and the ground was littered with the leftover male flowers, so they're done flowering. Trembling aspen this past week. There was cotton flying around last week, and during the week, a lot of the female fruits of the trembling aspens fell to the ground, so that season is over for them. And the big tooth aspen are still breaking bud. Mine are just beginning to leaf out. I've seen others that are further along. And as we pointed out last week, you know, the difference between the trembling aspen and the big tooth aspen, when it leafs out, the leaves are very pale green, almost white looking. And the trembling aspen are a deeper green, sort of a looking like now even deeper green than say something like a grape, which is what they remind me of when they first come out. That's the Phenology Show for this week. I hope you've had a chance to get out and observe some of these things and more. I hope maybe you can let me know what's happening in your yard. Always love to hear from you. Thanks.
Phenology, you catch it here on Tuesday mornings. We've got some more student reports coming up after Best Wishes. I'm Heidi Holton with John Latimer. Great way to stay on top of our nature programming is to sign up for the Season Watch newsletter. It's available at kaxc.org. Comes out once a week, gives you some links to some of our nature programming and also ideas on what to look for and some deep dives into some nature puns from our very own Charlie Mitchell.
Indeed.